Hey there, ho there, you're listening to Super Tool Shed, the only podcast on the internet where three men enter, and all three leave with a handsome gift bag. I'm Bennett the Sage, I'm joined by Mark the Engineer, and returning for more abuse is the ever-amiable Bill Rogers. Now, I have to make a correction on our last episode. You are not only known for your work on Pokemon, you are also Toma from Gravitation, which is totally something I watched.
You know, we've got the webcams on. We can see you lying.
Today's show is all about the Big N, which is looking not so big these days. Yes, Nintendo is looking pretty worse for wear, and we here at Super Tool Shed offer our condolences. And our told-you-sos. But before that, the pleasantries. Mark, Bill, how have you all been?
I guess since I can't call Guest Goes First called it two episodes in a row, because that just doesn't seem very fair. Doing alright. We're in, I guess, like pre-production on a bunch of stuff.
I suppose you want... I suppose that there must be a... Like, how many prefixes did you affix to that?
Pre-production, so four.
I've never heard of that stage in my production classes back in my, 2 years of field college? But yes, if there must be a name for the stage of certain projects that we're working on, I suppose pre-production.
That's work. Like before it's even a glimmer in your eye, it's more like that little crusty thing you get when you wake up.
Yeah.
No, that's pre-pre-pre-pre-pre-pre-pre. This is more at the stage where you're just talking with your friends and bullshitting at the bars. Like, wouldn't it be cool if we made that band we talked about 5 years ago?
All right, totally getting a hair band together.
That's where we are. You still got that wig from the Jay and Silent Shin bit, right?
That's the only way I can be part of a hair band anymore.
When I was making my intro, I was thinking about, should I make a bald joke?
No. Like,
well, I can't see you, so...
That's right.
I just have to take my word for it. The guy is balder than a cue ball.
Oh, thanks.
It's honestly, it's like, I mean, look at his hair, luxuriant fullness. Mm. His barber can barely get a comb through it.
You know that gag in Scary Movie where they take her panties off and he has to take it with a weed whacker? You know, they hired me to fill in for that hair.
Best $5 he ever made. So, if I were to say that there's anything else going on with me, honestly, it's that I'm buried in snow. We are buried in snow here on the East Coast. East Coast represent.
And we're going through something of a heat wave over here.
Shut
on the West
up!
Coast.
Yeah, but you have no water. Where's your water? Where is it?
Exactly, we're going through a drought.
That is hardly the same thing. You don't have to shovel a drought. You don't get frostbite from a drought. You don't lose extremities because they have to amputate because they turned all black because I tried to explain to the emergency surgeon that I am black, but he was like, no, it's definitely frostbite from drought. You don't get it from that, all right? You get it from snow, from polar vortexes and light flurries that turn into squalls, further proving that anything named squall is bullshit. So...
You sure so tell us how you really feel about your current weather situation.
Eat a dick. That's how I feel. I'm tired of the snow. I'm tired of this coast. 26 years is enough. I'm tired of shoveling. I had an argument about shoveling and about how people are like, oh, well, you know, like, shoveling's not so bad. It's like, no, shoveling is terrible. I hate it. It's bad for your back. It's bad for everything. You have to wear a fucking billion layers. And on top of that, I had shit to do with the car this week, so I had to do it in the freezing fucking cold, surrounded by snow, unless I wanted to dig out my car in its entirety and then use a flamethrower, which, as it turns out, is illegal to use a flamethrower to melt snow, so thanks, random guy in random town, for ruining it for everybody, for ruining our dreams.
Well, flamethrowers out here are legal.
They're legal?
Yeah, because they're the only way to get rid of killer bees.
Really? So you can own you can legally own a flamethrower.
But they have no snow!
But we have killer bees!
Snow still trumps killer bees, alright?
Have you experienced killer bees?
Jesus. Jesus, no. I don't think I ever want to go to California again now.
I didn't experience killer bees as a kid. What I experienced is the miles and miles and miles of sensationalist television about Africanized killer bees, where every inch of television would not stop talking about Africanized killer bees, how they had a killer bee fucking horror movie on Sci-Fi and fire ants and just every, do you remember sensationalist
Sunday
television?
Sunday on Fox when killer bees attack.
Yeah, right? We were just talking about that, how like sensationalist television.
I think I'm gonna die.
Yeah. Does anybody remember that fire ants movie?
I don't know, was there fire ants?
I really cannot wrap my head around a fire ants movie. Just, oh my god, just stand on a picnic bench.
No, they were like devious fucking fire ants. Like, they actually killed a bunch of them in this hallway at a high school or some shit. Like, with a flamethrower or something. And then the ants walked over the charred body, like the bodies of all the other ants. So they accidentally made a bridge for the fire ants to continue chasing them up the stairs. It was fucked.
I was about to say, like, they killed a bunch of fire ants, so these fire ants saw the corpses of their brethren, and they swarmed revenge on humankind.
It seriously was a, like, you know, chase people down the hallways, first person almost kind of movie.
Now, was this a mix with DreamWorks? Did they have like Woody Allen as the voice of the fire ant? I'm going to get.
We gotta kill the humans.
It's Woody Allen and Stallone. I'm the king of the fire.
All right, so then we'll do the triangle. So we started with me, Bennett. How are you doing? And then we'll do Bill.
All right.
I've been doing all right. I guess I got a little wrench thrown in the gears, as it were, when we're talking about this certain show that's going to be appearing on Anime Abandoned. I actually talked with Mark earlier today about it, and I remember the exact tone and the exact words I said to him when I first called him on Skype earlier today was, "Fuck this show!" And we actually got into a conversation with Mark's friend, Greg Hauser, also Bill's friend, about what would it take to make this show explode?
Literally, like, make it explode with fire.
We're talking black powder, kerosene. This show needs to die. Utterly and completely.
Which resulted in the weirdest phone call for 10 seconds ever. He's like, you know what? You know who I know who might be able to figure this out for us? Hauser. Call Hauser. What do you want, Mark? Hauser, can you help us blow something up? I can't really talk about that right now.
you've called me on the wrong line.
So that was an interesting. But yeah, we still haven't quite figured it out yet, but we'll work it out. Yeah, February is going to be fun.
For you?
Well, you know, it's... For you, it's just a matter of only you can prevent wildfires. For us, it's like, it's Pennsylvania. It's Penn's Woods, technically. So we've got plenty of trees. We can stand to lose a few.
Stand to lose a few, and you're in the middle of winter, and you got snow to take care of all the kind of fires we have. We're going through a drought here in California, where somebody can't even light up a cigarette without somebody else punching them right in the face. So you want California to go up in flames?
Who are you? What are you, a crazy person? Your father doesn't start fires.
All right, Bill, how are you doing?
I've seen better days, but I'm hating the winter. I'm absolutely hating the winter. I can't stand it anymore.
I love the snow.
Fuck you.
See, that's how you tell someone who has grown up in a place where there's never been snow.
Yeah.
Because he thinks that snow is like this wintry wonderland and that Christmas should be magical.
You know when snow stopped mattering to me? When I turned 18 and I graduated from high school. Because when you're a kid, you're like, snow day, I'll go out play in the snow and I've got the day after school and woo, yeah! And even when you're in high school, it's like, all right, snow day, I'm going to go back to sleep. And then, you know, eventually your mom will be like, go out and shovel the goddamn lawn. You know, and you got to get out there. But you're still okay because you got to sleep in and you missed school. But even in college, it's like, oh, fuck, now I'm gonna miss this exam and I'm late on this. And then when you get a job, you're like, now I gotta dig myself out before I get to my job, and it's gonna be another friggin' half hour on the road today, and I just can't deal with this shit. So yeah, 18 is where, if you're over 18 and you're like, I love snow, you need to be put down.
I love snow. I am keeping the spirit of winter alive.
Are you gonna break into a verse of Let It Go like every other cosplayer at a convention now?
Oh, God. To me, motherfuckers, there's only one Broadway-sounding song that's with the title Let It Go, and that's from the Full Monty Show. Let it go, let it go, loosen up, yeah, let it go.
I'm really scared. I don't want you to take off your pants.
There's no pants left to take off.
Yes. He's just wearing a banana hammock.
I believe we call that a pickle pincher where I'm from.
Not a rock candy sack.
There's so many terrible things that I could say at this moment, but in order to preserve what is left of Bennett's dignity that every once in a while he actually decides to cherish.
Well, you know, I will just say what about this very quickly. I'm glad Frozen came out. I'm glad people like it. I saw it. I wasn't really thrilled. And honestly, I don't see what all the hoopla is. But if I have to hear one more cosplayer break into that song, I'm going to punch somebody. Because I swear it's like every other person is like, eee! And this is probably not good because I'm doing a lot of conventions this year. But it's just going to be like...
I really do not care for that song whatsoever. The beginning intro and stanza is just sounds like it came out of a seventh grader's journal, you know, like a diary, like their secret poetry journal, you know, like the kind of journal that is like, when I get famous, they'll find these when I'm gone and they'll be famous finally. That kind of,
Or a Taylor Swift song. There you go.
No, like a Taylor Swift.
This is a seventh grader's secret journal, isn't it?
No, like even Taylor Swift has a little bit more maturity than what we heard.
Eh, I don't know. All right, please move on.
It's like it's an all right song. Just stop singing it, or I'm going to have to poo in your mouth.
Ooh, wow, that's
good. I think that this is just a week of convention threats because I've already said that we're going to Zenkai Con, where I won't stab anyone, not even Homestuckers, unless they have shopping carts.
Yeah, that's probably not a good thing to be posting on Twitter. People at Zenkai Con are like, we should probably reevaluate this inviting this Swift kid.
this game,
maybe. If you didn't know the thread that it started off, that somebody put a shopping cart in front of Mark's car and he was ready to stab them in the neck.
No, so, that's not it. This is my public announcement. If you leave a shopping cart in the middle of a parking lot, not in a corral, anywhere, I want you to be shot in front of your family. That's it.
In front of your family.
No trial. No nothing. It's just I want there to be a store-appointed marksman on the roof of every ShopRite, every Gennardi's, every Safeway, every Acme. Name to me some supermarkets in California, Bennett.
You already said Safeway.
All right.
So, Adronico's, Bash's.
Pathmark. Whole Foods.
King Cullen.
Trader Joe's.
Asda.
I want there to be a store-appointed marksman on the roof of these places, and if you leave your cart in the middle of the lot and nowhere near a corral, and especially if it's not in the corral when you take your hands off of the handle and you're nowhere near your car, I want you shot in front of your family.
What was the Jeffrey DeMunn character in Walking Dead? What was his name?
I don't know.
I don't watch The Walking Dead.
You guys don't watch The Walking
Dead?
No,
I do, but I don't remember.
He was from the earlier seasons.
How long ago was
Dale? Wasn't it Dale? I think it was Dale. I want him on the top, because he would always sit on top of the RV in the little lawn chair with the rifle, wait for the walkers to come through. That's who you need. You just put him on the top. You get people that look like him and just put him on top of grocery stores everywhere. And be like,
yeah.
Well, that's about all I'm good for.
Yep. If you're above the age of 65, then you can either be a greeter at Walmart or the store-appointed marksman.
Although I don't know, now that you say it that way, I would imagine glaucoma gets really bad, and then there's just random shootings.
I'm surprised you went so tame on your anger for that. I was expecting you to pull like a Harvey Dent and just say, "No, your family hears, and he has to lie to you about how it's going to be all right. Tell him! It's all right to leave a shopping cart in front of somebody else's car."
because really what happened was, because Philadelphia is covered in snow and they have plows in all the supermarket parking lots, and that's fine, except the plows can't get at the snow that's between the cars that are already there, so there's still a lot of snow left. And I went to my local supermarket, and I came out, and there was a shopping cart directly in front of my car. Not off to the side where I could, you know, kind of let it go and be like, all right, well, I'll just move around it, whatever. It's a moderate obstacle, like a child with a ball. It's...
Yes, don't hit the children with balls with your car.
It was directly in front of my car. And I could not contain my rage. The amount of rage that I had melted the snow around me. I was just...
He was going Super Saiyan.
I was fuming, just... You won't get away with this!
Now I'm just imagining you saying all of that and getting all that fuming rage while you're pushing the shopping cart back into the corral where it belongs.
Well, that's the question that I have is, how did you get into your car and not realize there was a shopping cart?
No, I didn't get into my car.
Or was it a drive-by carting? Did like somebody like, ah, after you were in your car?
I can't. First off, if somebody did that, I would risk denting my car to further dent my car running that fuck over. But no, I came out and this cart was just abandoned in front of my car. So being a courteous person, I said, well, I mean, I could back out of the space, but I'm not going to do that because I'm not a douchebag. So I took the cart. I angrily, you know, Sean Schimmeled it all the way to the cart corral. And then I went, got back into my car, and Schimmel drove all the way home. And then I got home, and I was on Twitter just tweeting, shot in front of your family!
So
all right, from now on, people, whenever you're doing something angrily, you are Schimmeling. No matter what you're doing. Like you're eating a dinner that your parents made you, but you're still angry at them because they missed your 10th birthday party. You're Schimmeling.
Or if you burn your mouth.
Hot pocket!
You are Schimmeling.
Standing in line at the post office and one douche can't figure out what commemorative stamp he wants to get.
That is Schimmeling.
I've always kind of likened Mark's rage to be more like a Milton rage, though. I figured he'd be wheeling the cart going back on, burn the building down.
One day we burn this place to the ground.
I was just with the cart in front of my car, and it just wanted to move, and I'd burn you all down.
That's kind of like a mixture of Milton and like Garfield.
I hate Mondays.
I hate Mondays. Kill you all. What did you say, Garfield? Nothing.
One of these days, I'm going to kill all of you on a Monday. That day will be Monday. Possibly this Monday. Oh, no, there's some lasagna. It's okay. All right, so...
Excuse me, you got to bring John around the neighborhood and tell everyone he's a pedophile.
Movies we missed as the... Now, since this was Bill's idea to bring this up, Bill is a movie master general.
Oh ho! Where's the phone? Where did you put the
Oh, I thought you were done using my phone because you don't have a space phone.
Space phone!
For the record, Bill considers all smartphones to be these things called space phones.
It's this amazing new technology. Well,
I'm getting a space phone.
Uh-huh.
There.
Hey, there we go. Okay. So, first of all, the glaring omission that I realized we forgot to talk about last week was RoboCop.
Don't care!
Dude, RoboCop!
Don't fucking care. I mean, like, giving that movie the time of day is giving it too much credit.
I don't know. I'm stoked.
He wants to...
I don't know.
It's because the new RoboCop is black!
Was that a bad joke?
Ow!
I guess so.
Oh my god.
Sorry.
Oh, I better not punch Bill too many times because I could become drunk on that power.
You know, like I'm looking at the RoboCop remake, I'm looking at the trailers for it, and I'm thinking to myself, we really do need more PG-13 remakes of classic 80s rated R movies.
All we're gonna do is bring in the girl with the three boobs, and that's gonna stretch the PG-13 rating.
It always comes back to the three boobs. Look, here's the reason why it is, and I'm stoked for it. It's because, one, I don't really care what anybody says. RoboCop from front to back is a stupid action movie that didn't really get any sort of serious until Prime Directives, which was way too serious.
Well, much like Starship Troopers, it was just supposed to be a parody.
Yeah.
It wasn't...
Yeah, like, I that's Paul Verhoeven for you. But, like, I don't have a great love for RoboCop. I mean, I'm not, like, one of those people who, like, swear by it. Like, it's one of the best 80s movies ever made. It's like, you didn't see a lot of 80s movies, have you? But, I look at RoboCop. It's like, you know what? That is a fun time capsule of an era.
And
the... of how the 80s thought the future would be like.
And it is, and it's cute, and the Ed 209 to this day remains cute.
right down to its little piggy noises when it falls downstairs.
Piggy, no. That thing, it roars like a tiger every time it turns around. You have 10 seconds to comply. I'm excited for it. Like, I'm really excited for it just because, one, I like dumb action movies. You know, I walked out of The Losers going, that was a dumb parody of the A-Team, and it worked. And then I walked out of the A-Team and went, that was a dumb parody of the A-Team, and it worked. So...
I'm just sorry, but, like, no one can play B.A. Baracus but Mr. T.
You gotta let it go, man.
I know, like, logically, you have to let it go. But, come on, I mean, it's like recasting Marty McFly with somebody else.
You mean like Eric Stoltz?
Shut up, Mark.
Like, I can't have this confirmed or not, but apparently, like, the takes with Eric Stoltz somehow survived, and he played it completely straight.
Yes, he did.
He was just like, wait, are you saying that my mom has got the hots for me?
With the intense look, yeah. It's like, nah, yeah, you know what? You need to get that shit off my set. They're doing a sequel of The Fly. Go take it over there.
Poor Eric Stoltz. He doesn't get the credit he deserves. Although, man, Michael J. Fox, I can't imagine it any other way.
But, like, it's...
What, are people assholes or something?
It's a movie... RoboCop is a movie that's going to, one, be held up by effects, which is fine. You know, like, honestly, Michael Bay should have directed it because, like, look, it's RoboCop. Explosions! It's RoboCop. It's a dude who gets turned into a robot cop, and he fires this ridiculous semi-automatic weapon, and shit just blows up for no reason. He shoots a teddy bear, blows up.
At least if he did direct it, it would have a personality, but the feeling I'm getting from these trailers is just looks generic.
But it works. Like, it's gonna work for me, though, because it's dumb, and I'm going to walk into it thinking it's dumb. I'm not going to walk into it thinking, oh my god, this is going to be fucking epic. I mean, I'm not ignoring what the movie has shown me. Like, the new Ed 209 looks kind of goofy. Because that motherfucker looks like it doesn't even care about stairs. It just takes a step and demolishes a staircase. So, you know, like, or it could be that, you know, maybe somebody was smart and they decided to do the Dalek thing and like, oh, well, they can't, the Ed 209 can't go upstairs. Yes, it can, jump jets.
Can we move on? This is just depressing me.
Oh, sorry.
Fine. Okay.
I won't talk about Monuments Men because that's just...
Because that, I will say, the only thing I'll say about the Monuments Men is that it has, like, bar none, the perfect trailer line in that movie.
Haven't seen the trailer like, yet. What is it?
The trailer line is like, the Nazis have stolen a bunch of art and they're going to burn it unless we save it. It's ostensibly that. It's like, wow, that's the plot of the movie right there.
Well, yeah, and it's actually based on, like, real events, so...
Yeah.
What else you got, Movie Master General?
I was just actually trying to see if I could find the tagline for it. Oh, well.
Stay on task!
Oh, sorry. Okay. Moving forward. Let's see. The Wind Rises is actually going to... It got nominated for an Academy Award and we'll actually be able to see it theatrically before...
What is that?
The Wind Rises is the supposedly the last movie that Miyazaki is directing before
Miyazaki.
He retires. All right, fine.
No, I'm
just talking about movies
that
I'm going to see.
No, I have an opinion on Miyazaki, which is I like Mononoke. I liked, like, I didn't really get into Totoro. Howl's Moving Castle was just, and Spirited Away was, and it does kind of come back to that accusation that people keep leveling against me. It's like, you just don't like whimsy. And I'm like, you know... I'm not going to entirely acquiesce to that, but the entire world seems to continue to love Miyazaki, and I fell off the train. So, maybe it's true. Maybe it's like 70% true that I'm 70% anti-whimsy, because like that makes two now, Miyazaki and the Iron Giant. I'm just like, fuck them.
Oh, don't start on the Iron Giant. We are not going back down that road. I refuse to have that fight with you again.
Me too.
God knows we both fought with you about it, and we still have to hear about it. All right, the new 300 sequel, or prequel. Whatever the hell this
supposed to be. Oh, that is like a sequel.
Is it a sequel? I don't even...
It's a sequel, because the tagline is like, Xerxes now is a god! Because...
Of war! I mean... Something...
Love it, 4chan! Love it!
I can't tell you how much I don't care about that. I didn't even like the original 300 that much. I was not on that train.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked good. You know, Gerard Butler was good in it.
He liked Gerard Butler in it.
But,
Was there a joke in that statement that I missed?
What?
I apparently like Gerard Butler shirtless. That's what the liner is.
Oh, I
that I like Jerry Butler's abs.
And I so wanted when he made the next movie he made after that was like, wow, man, he's like this badass Spartan and we're going to put him in a rom-com with Katherine Heigl.
Oh.
I just wanted like the tagline in there to be like, Heigl, tonight we dine at Sizzler! I don't know. Sorry.
No, all these...
Wait a minute, I thought the movie that he did afterwards was The Phantom of the Opera.
Not arguing that. Don't even know.
I
barely care. What I care about is that all of these Centurion and Spartan movies are getting in the way of my God of War movie, which, as much as I'm really not about God of War anymore because God of War Ascension, it's like I didn't know that you could call a game Ascension and yet it could spiral downwards so badly and so fast. But I still would like my God of War movie, if only to have my stupid action movie with stupid fucking sex scenes that, you know what, I wouldn't even care if Zack Snyder directed my God of War movie. Because at the very least, you know what, a too long sex scene in the middle of a God of War movie isn't really too long, is it? It just means that if the sex scene is too long, man, Kratos is fucking up the prompts, you know? Like, that's...
It's like, where's the square button? I wonder he's fucking this up. I'm not seeing no prompts. I ain't got no prompter.
So, like all of these things, like Clash of the Titans and the sequel to Clash of the Titans that nobody watched, and
I hate that series of movies, like Clash of the Titans, Wrath of the Titans, Remember the Titans. It was the most confusing trilogy I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I don't know, but
it's like all of a sudden it's a football movie. What happened here?
They've all gotten soft.
Oh my god. So yeah, like all of these things get in the way of my God of War movie. And before anybody says like, well, video game adaptation movies all suck. Look, there is no possible way that you can screw up a God of War movie, because they've been making the same movie for like 5 years now. So I think that we could just copy paste everything from all the other movies that have been getting in the way of my God of War movie. Hell, we could actually just like take scenes directly from other movies, string them together, and then CG Kratos in.
It wouldn't be a terrible idea. I've certainly seen worse video game movies come out of something like that.
Because it's not an abstract concept. It's not like fucking Super Mario Brothers. You know,
no.
Fucking glug, 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 glug. Like, what the fuck even was that? But yeah, like, all these things are getting in the way of my God of War movie. So, the 300 sequel, which...
I still didn't understand the casting of the Mario Brothers movie. I mean, the movie was bad enough, but they got a British guy and a Spanish guy to play two Italian brothers. It didn't make any sense to me.
Well,
don't say anything about John Leguizamo, because this motherfucker here apparently has never seen a movie where he wasn't good in it.
I haven't. Except for The Pest. I haven't seen The Pest.
So you like the Super Mario Brothers movie?
No, I like John Leguizamo. Okay.
In that movie.
Okay. Eat a dick. Look, I can go back and look at and look at Hopper in that ridiculous makeup and go, yeah,
monkey.
You know.
Yeah, to be fair, so can I. But then again, I know I'm not going to pretend that the Super Mario Brothers movie was anything other than what it is. Piece of shit.
Really bad. Like we all like don't and audience, don't judge me. You know, as soon as Street Fighter popped up on Netflix, you went, ooh. Whenever you see Double Dragon somewhere, if you remember that Double Dragon exists, you're like, oh my god, it's Robert Patrick with a Vanilla Ice haircut. I've gotta watch this.
Wasn't Scott?
Oh my god, it's Alyssa Milano barely hiding her cock in her jeans.
Oh. Who's the boss, I'll show you.
All I'm saying is, Alyssa Milano was very manly in that fucking movie.
Oh my god. Is there anything else, Movie Master General?
Actually, yeah. What do you guys think about the fact that they're doing a CG Mr. Peabody movie? Does anybody...
Oh!
See, yeah. For some reason, he's really... Like, first off, that look is from He Just Has No Love of Peabody and Sherman, period.
Okay.
You don't.
I don't. Because you know, like, I've never really grown up with the cartoons. I mean, I saw some of them, but really, the only abiding memory I have of Peabody and Sherman is a Simpsons take on it. It's like, I don't know where we are, Mr. Peabody. Quiet, you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's my most abiding memory of that. It's not even really of the show. It's a parody of the show. Yeah.
And the funny thing is that I'm pretty sure that was Maurice LaMarche in there. And the thing about it is that he would have been perfect as Mr. Peabody had they made a movie. But they decided to get the dad from Modern Family to voice Mr. Peabody. And this, you probably all know my stance on celebrity stunt casting. I just don't understand.
No, illuminate.
No, please. I don't understand it. I mean, there are some actors who are screen actors that transition well into voice acting.
Cranston!
It doesn't have to be about Bryan Cranston. If you want me to...
Okay, all right, asshole, can you name one other voice actor that had a successful screens...
Wait a minute.
Oh, like...
I'm confused. You're saying that...
No, he's confused. Like, okay, the listing should be a successful actor that's had a successful... Like, a successful screen actor that's also had a successful voiceover career. Are you ready for this? Are you ready to have your mind blown, Benny? Will Friedle.
Yeah.
Can you really consider Will Friedle to have a very successful...
He was a main character in a show that went to syndication.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I understand, like, logically, I mean, like, not a lot of actors can say that, but when you compare Bryan Cranston...
What are you doing?
This is my voice when I'm trying to break an argument down.
No, it's not working. It's just enraging me. You lost. and you're cutting into Bill's time explaining as to why it is that Hollywood stunt casting in voiceover is killing voiceover as we know.
All right, Bill.
I don't want to get into a long tirade because I'll waste way too much of your time. But basically, I feel like that, you know, there's a lot of chances for, like, a existing great voice actor to handle a role of an iconic character and do a great job with it and have people be like, wow, that was an amazing movie. But they were like, we gotta have Ty Burrell do it, because if we don't have the dad from Modern Family in it, then nobody's gonna go see this movie. I'm thinking, kids are gonna go see it regardless, and Mo could do a million times of a better job than this guy. I mean, I don't have anything against Ty Burrell. I don't watch Modern Family anymore, but when it first came out, I was like, hey, this is a pretty cool show. It's kind of like, you know, it's the people who did Frasier. It's smart. It's got multiple layers of comedy to it. Haha, great, funny, wonderful. And Ed O'Neill, of course, is wonderful in it. So I have nothing against the show, and I have nothing against him. It's just, why? There was no reason. It's not even like Ty Burrell is like a big name. They could have easily, let's just put it this way, Maurice LaMarche has won 2 Emmy Awards. So it's like, it's not like he's not gotten accolades for his ability to perform as a voice actor.
No, it's the problem that, like, this is actually a problem that I found really interesting at one point, which got resolved within the last 5 years, but only by a single show. Voice actors in the credits aren't listed in front of the show.
Mm-hmm.
They never list voice actors in the credits in the front of the show. But that's part of the reason why it is that voice actors, simply put, don't have names, you know, like first foot forward that people recognize, like Maurice, like Lamar, Paulson. You have to kind of go backwards and find out who those people are. Meanwhile, what happened 5-ish years ago was Archer, in which, smack in the opening credits, they list all of their actors.
Sure, true.
And they even continue to add credits. And when I say continue to add credits, it was that Krieger was supposed to be kind of an occasional character, and they ended up writing him to be a bigger character than intended. So now Lucky Yates is in the credits, too. Mm. So, seeing as, you know, like, voice actors aren't marquee people. And as they're not marquee people, they're not names that people recognize, and when they need to put and when they need to sell these, you know, especially these reimaginings and these reboots of old things like Rocky and Bullwinkle and Peabody and Sherman, Dudley Do-Right, they need to put a name on the marquee that people recognize, even if, like despite the fact that you don't actually see these people, all you're doing is hearing their acting. And people in general are very visual. You know, they want to see Brendan Fraser. They want to see Ty Burrell. They want to see Cranston. Mm. But they put their name on the marquee because they see that name, they recognize that name, and they go, okay, I'm going to sit down for Batman Year One because Cranston's in it. And that's the reason why it is that Hollywood stunt casting for all of this shit can continue to perpetuate itself. Does that make it right? No. Is it primarily Disney's fault? Yes.
Well, here, let me just say this to you. I'm going to go through the cast. Now, Ariel Winter is in it. She's the little girl from Modern Family. Again, what does it matter? But, you know, in that aspect, if you're going to try to do that, you're going to try to appeal to the Disney Channel crowd, fine. Put somebody that's like, oh my God, it's the girl from Modern Family, or the kid from this or that. I don't give a rat's ass. Leslie Mann is in this, probably because Judd Apatow was like, my wife wants to be in an animated film. Stanley Tucci. Okay, Stanley Tucci, good actor, also does fine with doing voice work.
He's a furniture actor.
Allison Janney. great actress. I've liked every time I hear her. She's been in a couple Pixar films. She does a good job. She's never a major part, but she's fine as being a player in these things. She's a well-known screen actor. Patrick Warburton. I like Patrick Warburton. Patrick Warburton has one voice, but he does it very well. So, you know, they're going to have that character in there, and it'll be Patrick Warburton. Mel Brooks has an appearance in this. Dennis Haysbert, Stephen Colbert. These are all names that I'm okay with these actors being in here. It's that they couldn't let the lead go to somebody who's just a voice actor.
Who we consider to be top tier.
Who would have been perfect for this particular part. I'm like, Maurice has the voice down pat. He could have easily done it. He's just a tremendous voice talent with hundreds of credits. But no, we have to go with Ty Burrell. If you want to have these little gags where you have Mel Brooks and Patrick Warburton pop up, and it's like, oh my God, look at all these names when they put like 500 names in that credit sequence that flies at you ad nauseum in the movie theaters, then fine, have all those names. But, you know, like, give Mo a chance. He would have been fine for it. But I don't know. It kind of bothers me. And then it's when you get the Apatow crew. When you get Leslie Mann.
Yeah, what Bennett refers to as the Apatow Mafia.
Yeah. Those people, like, one or two of them have done okay for themselves, and the rest of them, I'm like, they're just cruising from frat movie to frat movie, and then they're putting them in these animated films. Like, well, everybody's really going to care if McLovin is a voice in How to Train Your Dragon, and I'm like, no. No, I don't.
No, because he doesn't really have a distinct voice. Not like Rogan. Like, Rogan I can understand.
And Rogan will play the stoner. Hey, Mr. Peabody, I went back and found some really good weed.
Like, they're going to make a Bill and Ted joke, and he's playing both Bill and Ted.
There you go.
I didn't think the discussion could get any more depressing when we were talking RoboCop, but now...
Now you're just mad. Now I'm mad at Ty Burrell and the world.
No, now I'm just mad at you.
Oh, sorry. Okay, let me try to bring this up a little. Does anybody care that a Veronica Mars movie is coming out on March 14th?
No!
Nope.
Fuck yous both. Okay, moving on.
Thank you.
How about Aaron Paul in Need for Speed?
No!
No, I love Aaron Paul. He's an amazing actor, and
he's in a video game movie.
Yeah, I know, and
it's not just any video game movie, a Need for Speed movie.
I know.
This movie is 5 years too late.
Yeah, and really seriously, out of Breaking Bad, he should have been in, like, one of those, like, nominated for, you know, 12 Academy Awards. Like, Aaron Paul needs to be in some serious shit drama because he's just a powerful actor as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but he's in a Fast and the Furious clone movie.
I know.
That's going to hurt him very badly.
You know, like, when Death Race could get a movie made about it before Need for Speed could...
All right, well, let's talk about the other end of this. Somebody who also... amazingly, from the Breaking Bad cast, will be unaffected by Bryan Cranston, Godzilla 2014.
Oh, jeez.
Nobody? Okay.
No. There's some material in Godzilla, okay. And I'll tell you why.
Okay, please.
Now, I can personally get over that's a lot of fish. All right? I can let that go.
All
right. And I can sit in the theater... and I can, you know, just kind of sit there in the theater in my seat, just waiting for the movie to start, you know, just all of my childhood memories. Dun, 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 dun. Just tapping my finger. Dun, dun, dun. Please don't suck.
Any more than Godzilla's kid.
You mean Greyzilla?
Like, please. Gino? Please. Please don't include Godzuki. Da 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 da. You know, like that's what I can hope for. I do like how there's been a lot of press material around the movie, even though there hasn't been any more than like 20 seconds of footage that's been released out into the world so far. How they've had like scientists say, like, you guys realize that Godzilla can't exist, if only because. If something this big existed, like, this is one of my favorite articles. If a lizard this big existed, it would die for any number of reasons. One of being, it just might explode. Under its own weight, it would just explode. As soon as it took one step from a standing position, all of its tendons would like explode with such a violent force that it would destroy a city. And I was like, wow, that's kind of awesome. Terrible, you know, beef just throwing beef stew everywhere. Like Godzilla, like Godzilla just came out. Oh god, beef stew. Oh, just hot chunks of Godzilla everywhere. But
Well, that problem sorted itself out.
And now the cleanup as the city rebuilds. Once again, the day was saved thanks to science.
Then all of a sudden, Mothra flies in. It takes one flap of its wings and then tears its own wings off.
Look out. It's okay. It's just made out of dust. When it hits the ground, it'll just explode.
Oh, man.
For centuries afterward, Tokyo has just been stricken with a cough that won't go away.
That would be the best big guy in Rusty live-action movie ever, where he's just sitting there in a huge custom-built lawn chair on the blimp going, just wait for this. This is going to be amazing. Then Mothra comes, flaps the wings, wing comes off, does little fart circles into the sea, huge tidal wave, and he goes, all right, now I'm on the clock.
Why don't these aliens know that building gigantic monsters just destroy themselves? Swear to God, they tried to send this gigantic three-headed dragon our way.
And it only had one brain. That's brilliant.
Actually,
so,
the problem with King Ghidorah would be that metal head in the middle would kind of collapse the rest of it.
I can tolerate, and I'm upgrading it to tolerate, I can tolerate the existence of this Godzilla movie, if only because, you know what, if they can deliver to me a good giant monster, you know, stupid fucking jarheads against all odds, and then one goofy spaz of a scientist figures it out.
You know, we all saw Pacific Rim. So.
Well, that's the thing.
That's the formula.
If they can follow that formula and then just plug it into Godzilla, it might work.
Yeah.
I think it has better potential than RoboCop, I can tell you that much.
But I think that, like, if they can go for real tragedy, and I'm not talking about, like, oh, well, nobody really dies and nothing bad really happens. You know, like, New York's got to pay a few bills for a while. You know, like, nothing horrid. But if they could go for, like, real, honest-to-God, original Godzilla tragedy, where the moral of the story is, we did this to ourselves.
History proves again and again how nature points out the follies of man.
Yeah. nature finds a way.
Godzilla!
There you go. Okay. Bennett got the Blue Oyster Cult reference. Mark's never heard Blue Oyster Cult in his life.
No, I haven't. He will. Like, well, Bennett's... And now you two are bonding. I'll allow it.
Oh, okay.
There goes Tokyo. Go, go, Godzilla.
Honestly, I'll let it happen. Stop it, Bennett. I'll let it happen. I'll just let it happen, and we'll just let the chips fall where they may. And when that weekend happens, and I go to see that movie, and I come back here, either ecstatic or pissed, you, the Toolshed audience, will know. So let's talk about the crash and burn of the Big N.
Yay! Yay! Okay. Bill, what do you have to say for yourself?
I've got nothing else to say. There were more movies we could have talked about, but go ahead.
No, you're not sidetracking us ever anymore.
I'm done.
We're talking about it now. It's coming.
Oh, okay, and I got the article here. Well, there's many articles because the internet cannot stop talking about how Nintendo is crashing and burning, and they're just kind of jerking off over the pile of flames, hoping against all hope that their seed can extinguish the fire. But little do these websites know that they actually ejaculate gasoline. Nintendo has confirmed what we knew already. Its unhappy controller/console combo, the Wii U, is a flop. The company said hardware sales of the Wii U had failed to reach its target during the year end, pushing it into a third consecutive annual loss, Reuters reports. We failed to reach our target for hardware sales during the year-end, when revenues are the highest, said Nintendo's president, Satoru Iwata, as a shareholder briefing on the sales figures. And here's the meat and potatoes. With the Wii U failing to shift off shelves, and that despite a $50 price cut last September to $299, Nintendo has slashed its global sales forecast for the device for the year to March 31st by almost 70%. It said it's expecting Wii U sales to number just 2.8 million units over that period. It also cut its sales forecast for its handheld 3DS console to 13.5 million units from 18 million. Wow.
Is that it?
Wait a minute.
That, as far as pure hardware is concerned... Oh, here it is. Nintendo said it is now expecting an operating loss of... Drum roll, please. 35 billion yen. 335 million to the year of our U.S. dollars. This business year versus its initial forecast of 100 billion yen profit. So you're expecting 100 billion... and you lost 35. Ahahow. It also warned of a net loss of 25 billion yen for the year ending on March 31st, having previously projected a 55 billion yen profit, and expects revenues of 590 billion yen down 36% from its prior forecast. An update on this article says that Nintendo appears to be mulling a new smartphone-focused business strategy, according to comments reported by Bloomberg. We are thinking about a new business structure, Iwata is reported as saying at a press conference in Osaka.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to go upstairs, and I'm going to pour myself another drink. And don't worry, because we're going to edit this for time, clearly. But I just need to drink to the victory of common fucking sense! I'll be right back!
Whiskey-fueled rage. Don't put it on your tablet.
It's a common sense!
And we are back. And also, we have another article to talk about. And this is very juicy here. Very, very juicy here. Nintendo was dead to us after Wii U launch, says EA Source. According to a recent CVG report, it's time to give that dream up of AAA titles landing on the Wii U, as AAA developers aren't going to come back to the Wii U. According to one anonymous EA staffer, the publisher doesn't believe it's possible for their games to be successful on the platform. Nintendo was dead to us very quickly, said the source. It became a kids' IP platform, and we don't really make games for kids. That was pretty true across the other labels, too. Even the Mass Effect title on Wii U, which was a solid effort, could never do big business. And EA, like Activision, is only focused on games that can make big franchises. Now, since this article was published... the president of EA, Peter Moore, had gone on record that, and I quote, Nintendo is a great partner. So obviously there was some fallout after this had leaked. But I have to think that if they are such a great partner, as Peter Moore is saying, then why aren't they making games for the system? Electronic Arts Chief Operating Officer Peter Moore has very pointedly denied the Dead to Us claim on Twitter. Don't trust anonymous sources. Nintendo's a great partner, he wrote. They never have been and never will be dead to EA, which is why we're not making games for the platform. It's just exactly why. Now, I forgot who's heading Platinum Games right now. Well, remind me who's heading the Bayonetta 2 project?
I believe that was bankrolled in its entirety by Nintendo.
Yes, it was. Now, if you're Platinum Games, and you've worked your fingers to the bone making a game for a console that no one is buying, and to the detriment of your previous fans who were so angry at you for taking the game they love, making a sequel, and putting on a platform that they do not have and do not want. And your response to this is, his response was, and I'm quoting here, every time I'm here, somebody complaining about Bayonetta 2 not being on the Xbox 360 or just being a Wii U exclusive, I'm just glad. It makes me not want to do a port. I'm thinking you might not have an option here, buddy. If you want there to be a Bayonetta 3, you're going to have to do this.
All right. I think I can stop with my terrible megalomaniacal laughter now. So, who saw this coming?
Me. Yeah. I saw this directly coming, and I wish you could see Bill right now. He's just kind of scratching his neck and looking off to the side. And just...
Here's the deal. You raised an entire generation of gamers. You raised them. You had joint ownership of these gamers with Sega and Sony to a subsequent level, Atari even.
TurboGrafx.
You raised an entire generation of gamers, and you raised them to be loyal and demand quality, and you made available a shit ton of games to make sure that they knew the difference between what's good and bad. And then somewhere along the line, you said, you know what? The entire generation of gamers that we raised, fuck them. Mom and dad and your little brother and your baby sister and grandma and grandpa and your fucking dog, you all need to be able to play games, because you want to know what you are? You're an untapped market. Now, the smart money would have said that, but that's the short game. The short game's not a good game because it's the short game. It's the small picture. It's a finite audience that wasn't interested in games in the first place, which is why they're not hardcore. You see, the hardcore gamers that you raised weren't always hardcore gamers. They were just an audience. And you molded that audience. You made them yours. You made them better at what they did, one game at a fucking time. And you turned them hardcore. People weren't immediately amazing at Unreal or Call of Duty or Halo or Need for Speed or Forza or Gran Turismo, God of War, or Final Fantasy. We were raised and conditioned to be good at those games, one game at a time. And what you decided to do was abandon that audience for an audience that you didn't have to cultivate, but instead you tried to make an audience of, what would be the word? What would the word that P.T. Barnum would use?
Suckers.
That's it! Suckers! Except you found out what was wrong with an audience of suckers. They're born every minute. And there's someone smarter than you every minute and a half. So your suckers are gone. And you come back hat in hand with your Wii U and your fancy little screen that you can't even buy a second one of, so no developer can really do anything with your dumbass screen controller. And you say, hey, everybody. Oh, you remember us, Nintendo? We gave you some of the best times of your life. Hi, I'm Reggie Fils-Aimé. And for a manufacturer's suggested retail price of whatever the fuck we say, we're going to give you ports of a bunch of games that you've played before, but that's okay because they have waggle controls. Hey, we remember you, the hardcore. We raised you. Come on back. And the rest of us were going, I cannot hear you, Reggie. I cannot hear you anymore. I'm too busy playing with my PlayStation 4.
Victory sip!
So that's to say that Nintendo, going into the mobile market, the market that they've never even needed to be remotely interested in, the market that they have been, I mean, technically speaking, the Game Boy was the original mobile. So really, it's the market that they built, that they've dominated, that they have crushed into the dust every fucking piece of competition they've ever had. The Game Gear, the Nomad, the PSP, the PS Vita. They have absolutely crushed every single other mobile device under their boot heel. And they've never had to worry about any sort of competition. But now, for the first time ever, they're going to have to go to the tune of somebody else's drum, because they finally realize the error of their ways in terms of money. Remember money? Remember how you're supposed to be making money? Hardcore gamers represent a really large audience, a consistent audience, an audience that's always there for you and always spending money. And you just decided that they weren't important enough, so you cut out their money. You took the quick money from mom and dad and grandma, your baby brother, your baby sister, and your fucking dog. And all of a sudden, it dried up. So, sorry, Nintendo. See you next time. I really hope you do make a new system, because I would like to play Smash Brothers. No, wait, never mind. Because the last one sucked.
Hey.
Like, Bill sat there and took it like a bitch for like 5 minutes. But once you mentioned Smash Brothers, he musters a hey.
Look,
I will aura smash your shit. don't you mock Smash Brothers, you cock.
I will say this. I will say that in terms of a company that cares about their community, Nintendo has always been in the top two. They absolutely care about their fans a whole lot more than Sony cares about their fans, because Sony fans are fucking zombies.
Oh, not like the Microsoft kids.
No, Microsoft kids is a different kind of animal. Like, what I'm saying is that, like, I mean, Microsoft kids are douchebags, Sony fans are zombies. So Sony can do horrible things to their fans, and all Sony has to do is say, hey, you want some free games? And then they're like, meanwhile, Microsoft fans, they'll try and be civil about it, but at the end of the day, they just kind of devolve into punching matches.
You see, I have to say, like, I've been a PlayStation kid, and the only reason I never really adapted to the Xbox was, it was kind of weaned on that when I was younger. Like, I had a PlayStation 1, I got a PlayStation 2, I got a PlayStation 3, and the Xbox, you know, slid in when the PS2 had already kind of been established. And I was like, I've got this, and they've got the same games. Like, there are a handful of exclusives, but I always kind of stayed Sony loyal. That said, I find the amount of dick-waving between Sony and Microsoft fans to just be nonsensical. Like, every time a new game comes out, it's like, oh, it's going to be better on the Xbox. Oh, it's going to be better on Sony. I'm like, I don't fucking care.
Well, if it
comes out for both systems, I'll play it on the system that I happen to own.
Well, I can show you what civil discourse looks like between me and Bennett, him being a Sony person and me being an Xbox person.
Okay.
Because we had this argument about Borderlands 2. And we had this argument about one other game before that.
Basically, the argument came down to, how Microsoft and Sony, like, your point was, like, Sony is this huge conglomerate that could take huge amounts of losses, and therefore they don't really need to
eat any loss they want.
Eat any loss they want, and then I said, like, you're talking about fucking Microsoft here.
Yeah, Bill Gates has more money than anybody, so.
Not entirely true.
Except for Warren Buffett, and they just keep swapping money to each other.
But when we have to have a conversation about, all right, what are we going to do about this co-op game, like Borderlands 2, for instance, the conversation always boils down to, well, it's going to look better on the PlayStation, but it's also going to be buggier on the PlayStation. And you have Xbox Live, you pay for Xbox Live, I pay for Xbox Live, I've been paying for Xbox Live for 10 years, and... And Xbox Live is superior to the PlayStation Network for a lot of reasons. So even though the PSN is free for PlayStation 3 users, it's still not, like, I've always had, like, netcode problems with the PSN, just overall gameplay problems with the PSN. And in terms of shooters, an Xbox controller is ergonomically superior to a PlayStation controller. A PlayStation controller is good for a shit ton more. in terms of fighting games and adventure games, because a PlayStation 3 controller, a DualShock controller, has always thrown commands faster and more consistently than an Xbox controller. But when it comes to shooters, when it comes to your Borderlands, your Halos, your Call of Duties, your Battlefields, whatever, the Xbox controller has always been superior because it has tighter analog sticks than the PlayStation DualShock analog sticks, which have always felt sloppy. Like, that's the kind of discourse that we have about the two things. Now, the thing is that I can appreciate how well Nintendo treats their community, but since the Wii, they kind of left them in the dust, and all the hardcore Nintendo fanboys is like, the Wii is awesome. You're convincing yourself it's awesome. No, the Wii is awesome. You're convincing yourself it is awesome. It is not awesome. It is not good. It is yet another system built on parlor tricks by Nintendo. How many times do I have to bang out the list? The Zapper, the Trackpad, the Super Scope, the Rumble Pack. They are all gimmicks. And they have been jingling keys at you forever while selling you the 7th, 8th, 9th copy of Ocarina of Time, hoping that you don't notice that they've been fucking resting on it for like a decade.
But that's why I think the Nintendo fanboys are the more the zombies than Sony, because they're the ones that are keep feasting off the flesh of dead meat.
Seriously. So, I mean, anybody who wants to have correspondence on this and just like have their conversations about, oh, well, you know, like Nintendo's not going to go anywhere, or I'm really afraid that Nintendo's going to go somewhere. No, Nintendo's not going to go anywhere. They're having they're having to consider the fact that they might not own the mobile market anymore, because the target of the mobile market has changed and they need to change with it. As far as the home console market goes, well, they need to stop being clown shoes. They need to give up the gimmicks. They need to come up with the single most hardcore fucking system they can possibly build and be like, here's Mario 50,000 bit, you know? It needs to be like it's in 4D. They need to return to form. You know, Nintendo needs to return to telling good stories, producing good games, and creating experiences that are going to mold childhoods and just turn heads. Because they haven't been focused on that. That has not been the focus since the Wii. The focus has been casuals. And for every fucking person that's like, well, you shouldn't make fun of casuals, and casuals isn't the end of gaming. Yes, it is. Because look at what casuals did to Nintendo. Look at what the prevalence of casuals about. Look at what casuals being an actual statistical number of people that can be represented on a chart that they decided to pursue did to Nintendo. It officially ruined two systems. What more proof do you need that casuals, as a market that is vocal in our community as gamers, are a fucking plague? Take your fucking Candy Crush Saga and shove it up your ass. Keep Farmville on Facebook. I don't need it on a console. Angry Birds, same thing, eat a dick. I don't need casuals anywhere in my space. I don't need the learning curve of every single game on Earth to start fucking shallowing out so that casuals can fucking jump on. I don't need control schemes to get simpler. I don't need anything, because yes, it's about growing the audience. But you know what? The part of the audience that you're trying to get is stupid and lazy, and they're not interested in learning anything. And quite honestly, if you're not interested in learning, then you shouldn't be interested in teaching, and therefore you shouldn't be interested in selling.
A lot of pent-up frustration has been leading to this moment, hasn't it?
Well, was that too much? I'm asking the both.
No.
Was that too much?
Yeah. No, I don't think it's too much, but it is very pointed and very venomous and barbed.
I'm gonna just kind of throw something out there as just a counterpoint on all of this. And I have to say, I feel this way about the current generation of game systems. I really feel like I don't have a PS4, and I don't know when I'm ever going to get one. You know, likewise an Xbox One, but then again, I never had a Boxer or a 360. I have a Wii, and I have a PS3. And as far as I'm concerned, I feel like, I don't know, but I feel like Sony and Microsoft may not take as big a hit as Nintendo, but I really feel like everybody's going to take a hit this year simply for the fact that
there's no games on no systems.
Well, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond the fact that we have, like it or dislike it, the Wii was what it was. But the Wii U makes no sense. You've added a tablet to a system, and it's done nothing to improve the Wii. Oh, wow, so now it's 1080. No, that doesn't really matter. And then you look at the PS4 and the Xbox One, and it's the same thing. I'm looking at games, and I'm going, I can play this on the PS3. I can play this on the Xbox 360. I feel like the latest generation of game systems is redundant because we haven't gotten to a technological boost where the games are like so amazing that it's like, you can't play this on these other systems. You need this next generation of hardware. We went from CD-ROM to DVD to Blu-ray. And now there is no Ultra Ray or, you know, some sort of weird streaming chip or whatever or new media that makes any of these new systems justifiable. And I feel that, in general, the gaming community is probably going to take a huge hit this year because all of the systems, all of the companies have dumped money into creating this new, let's get the new thing out. And why? Well, because we've had this system out for 5 years now. We have to have something new because we have to sell more hardware. And I'd like, why? You know, after the PS3 came out, the PS2 still lasted several years after that. And I feel like the PS3, even more so, like there will be PS3 games still coming out years into the PS4 because it's not going to matter. The PS4 is like, ooh, we've got a slightly better frame rate and we can process so much more information. But it's not really going to matter to a lot of people.
Well, it's going to matter in about, let's call it 3 to 4 years.
Well, yeah, when the software manufacturers decide we're not going to make a PS3 and a PS4 version of this,
no,
or
it's,
a 360
it's not,
and a
it's,
one
it's,
version.
It's not so much that. It's that the first two generations of a console almost always suck. It's the learning period. It's the baby giraffe period. And then 3 to 4 years in, you get people who really want to push the hardware. Like, honestly, I'll even say that some people are bucking the trend because there's a game that got announced that there's a lot of production footage for called Aliens Isolation. And it looks amazing.
That could not be on a PS3 or an Xbox 360.
No, okay. because you know how Ridley Scott actually built the Nostromo so they would have to like walk from deck to deck when they did the original Alien.
Okay.
They have a full representation of
Does it take place on Nostromo?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So they have a full representation of the Nostromo in this game. And they have ridiculous details.
Okay.
And the lighting is just so beautiful and the textures look so good so far. And it's all pre-production. None of it's absolutely done, so it's all got that nice big, you know, video does not represent final product shit. But for something that doesn't represent the final product, Alien ISO looks amazing.
And not only that, but with Sony's plans about offering streaming games available on the PS4, where they're just going to cut out the middleman entirely.
They're cutting
out
downloads. They're doing the same thing that the OnLive service is doing, where they have servers that are doing all the grunt work of actual game processing, and then they're streaming you the video feed, and your controller is streaming back to that server all the commands that you're throwing.
Let's see. Mark already, I don't think I've discussed this with you, Bennett, but Mark already knows my stance on physical. I am a hardcore, what would I call it?
Hardware.
I need to actually have a disc. I don't buy into the streaming thing, and that's just me. I mean, I'm going to go kicking and screaming into the 21st century because I don't feel like I want to actually, when I buy a game, own a copy of the game. I don't want to have some digital copy on my system that I can't take to my friend's house, because, you know, like, hey, let's play this game I got. I'll bring it over. Oh no, wait, I can't. It's
which the argument for that is that it promotes the social aspect of gaming. The argument against that is that it's the, you know, like, all those discs eventually have to be recycled. You know, they're
I still have all my old Nintendo cartridges.
Because everything that Nintendo made up until the Wii, or no, up until the GameCube, was indestructible. But yeah, like, there's an argument, like, there's the argument against maintaining that, like, we should keep discs, is that, you know, like all that shit needs to be recycled and properly disposed of and whatever, but, and plus, you know, like data doesn't...
Discs can get damaged.
Yeah,
can get
I know, damaged. And like, I know that there is...
You can't corrupt data as easily as you can scratch a disc.
Yeah, but still, there's something about, I don't know, you preserve a disc correctly, it'll last you a very, very long time. And I understand that, yeah, you can technically back up data and stuff like that, but I just had this whole, every time I go onto the PS Network and it's down, or I need to do something, and it's like, you can't, because you need to be online, and it's not working right now, and guess what? Fuck you, because I want to play a game. I want to be able to pop it into a system and not be reliant on the rest of the world. And I'm not talking about, yeah, I can understand the premise for it for multiple, you know, MMOs and things where you want to play with a bunch of people online. But when I play a single player, which in my sad, lonely life is most of the gaming I do, when I play my sad, lonely single player platformer game, every time I pop that disc into a PS3 and it says, oh, wait, you got to wait, we got to download another update. I'm like, for real? When did I become the test mark? You know, I am the beta test. And it just frustrates me, because when I used to buy a Genesis cartridge, yeah, okay, if you open this door the wrong way, you get stuck and you have to reset the game because there's a bug in there. But it seems like every game for the PS3 has, like, so many, it's so riddled with bugs, like, I expect spiders to come climbing out of my system. I don't understand why, where the QC went on video gaming, that everything needs to be, everything has to be online. Even if you're just playing by yourself, there needs to be updates and there needs to be this.
Yeah.
And it's all dependent upon this huge system somewhere.
Again, another supporter of the argument that releasing a game buggy as shit to have the audience QA test for you so you don't have to pay for proper QA testing, not a good idea. Another dissatisfied customer. I think that we are actually ratcheting up to the longest tool shed ever.
That's because I'm here.
Yeah, right. Not this time. I wish you could take the blame for this. It's entirely my fault. Bennett, any closing statements?
Well, the closing statement that I want to have is that this gaming generation that we're currently in feels like we're about to reach an apex. Like, there's not much room for technology to grow as far as graphics are concerned. And any other kind of new spin that we can offer on consoles is just going to revolve around, you know, like, social media, or it's going to revolve around some other kind of outside influence that's not part of gaming. It's not going to be gaming's job to realize what's going to be new in gaming. It's, what can we do? How can we connect gaming to what's already happening in real life? That's where I think gaming is going. And I don't think that's a bad thing or a good thing, but rather just gaming isn't as secluded as it once was. I mean, it's not just for kids and for the parents to buy their kids. Now the kids have grown up into adults and raising new gamers to be. So we kind of expect gaming to harken back to the old days when the old days don't apply anymore. And so I'm looking at the gaming generation and thinking, if this is where it's going to go, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of the future. I'm just really kind of hammering on the past decisions of the previous generation, where Nintendo had one interesting idea that everybody jumped onto, and Nintendo just held on to it for a little bit too long. When they should have jackknifed it, like, as soon as they saw the numbers tapering off.
It's like, we had an interesting run, but let's actually make a console. Mm. I think gaming will be all right. We'll be fine as long as we have games worth playing.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, regardless of, you know, if there's only one, well, there'll never only be one game system. But if, you know, one of the big three falls off and another contender comes out, hey, you know, maybe this is time for Sega to make a comeback. But, but I mean, if another console comes along or another system, there's always going to be gaming. And everybody's always like, gaming is over as we know it. And I'm thinking, no, because, you know, it's ebbing and flowing. And yeah, there will be. There's always going to be people out there that want to play games. I'm always going to be interested in what the new game is, even if, like, I have to, you know, learn how to play a different style. Like, I remember going kicking and screaming into, what was it, Super Mario 64 was the 3D Mario game, and Tekken, and, like, the early PS1 games where I was like, I can't get my mind over playing over three. It has to be a flat plane that I'm either fighting another person or running and jumping and catching mushrooms. I can't do this. I couldn't get my mind around it. I kept falling off cliffs.
I remember the first time I saw the analog sticks on the PS controller, and it's like, what am I supposed to do with this? And then you just get used to it. You get through the growing pain.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's the key word here in this gaming generation, growing pains. But I think that is a lovely note for us to leave this episode of Tool Shed out on. I believe it is time for the one and only Mark the Engineer to bring us on home. Mark, it's your turn, buddy.
Just taking advantage of the fact that the webcams are on. All right. Outro music is always provided by Zero Reynolds. You can follow him on Twitter at Zergester. That's XERGester. You can now take Super Tool Shed wherever you go. Just go to benandsage.com/supertoolshed. For Ben the Sage and Bill Rogers, I am Mark the Engineer. Until next we beat, the shed is shut.